days of the Tanaim, when a person would get maftir, he would choose whatever haftarah he wanted to recite, provided that it had a connection with the sedra. And the Gemara has guidelines what type of a haftarah is acceptable and have, what's the minimum number of psukim that you have to have. So the Mishnah records a machlokes haTanaim and Megillah, whether you're permitted to recite the haftarah from Yecheskel that speaks about Toeves Yerushalayim. So it's a machlokes in the Mishnah, Reb Leizer and the Chachamim, and it appears in Maseches Sofrim also. And the Gemara quotes a braisa that appears in Maseches Sofrim, that once a balabas got maftir and Reb Leizer shul, and his opinion was that you're not permitted to recite this haftarah of Toeves Yerushalayim. This haftarah of Toeves Yerushalayim is Miyin Yano Shal HaParsha, both Achrei Mois and of Kedoshim. Because in the end of Achrei Mois, you have all of the Yisuri Arais, and you have, in the end of Kedoshim, you have the Onshim. For those Yisuri Arais, they have something worse than Koris. It says in Achrei Mois, Kol HaShias Mekol HaToeves HaEilu V'Nichrusu, whoever violates any of these Yisuri Mischaiv Koris. And then in Kedoshim, it repeats those who get something worse than Koris. Those who get Misa are repeated. Those who only get Koris, I mentioned already from before, that's where the Gemara has a whole discussion. Why is Achosa repeated? Because Achosa gets the same Koris. Achosa doesn't get a punishment of Misa. So the Tanoim have a whole machlokes. Why does the Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim repeat Achosa if there's no Misa? So this section of Toeves Yerushalayim, Hodaos Yerushalayim is Toav Vaseo, fits in well to be the should have been acceptable to serve as the haftarah of Achrei Mois or of Kedoshim. It speaks about Gilui Arayis, and it speaks about Avodah Zarah, which also appears in both Parshios. It speaks about Shabbos, which appears in both Parshios. It speaks about a general list of Averis, which appears both in Achrei Mois and Kedoshim. So Blazer says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to recite this haftarah. Eim haftir mitavis Yerushalayim. And the Chachamim say that it's acceptable. So the Braisa tells a story that on one occasion, Balabas got mafter Reb Leizer's shul, and he disregarded Reb Leizer's instructions, and he recited this after. Reb Leizer was all upset, so he screamed out loud, instead of being Vedic, Atshata Vedic B'Tehavis Yerushalayim, instead of checking the Averis of Eretz Yisrael, say B'dok B'Tehavis Imecho, why don't you check into your own family lineage. And they found out that he was a mamzer, that his mother had violated Gilui Arayis, that he was a mamzer. Anyone who attacks the Zionist is a mamzer. That's what it sounds like Reb Leizer is saying. So that's why this, even though the din is against Reb Leizer, we pass him that you may choose the Teves Yerushalayim, but the minig has developed that we always avoid reciting this haftarah, Teves Yerushalayim. So whenever you have Achrei Mois Kedoshim together, whenever you have two sedras mechubarim, so the Abu Dram quotes two minhagim, whether you say the haftar of the first sedra or the haftar of the second sedra. Whatever your minig is, our minig is we say the haftar of the second sedra. Whatever the minig is, when you have Achrei Mois Kedoshim together, you avoid this Teves Yerushalayim. So either it's going to be this year with Shabbos HaGadol, so we didn't say Teves Yerushalayim for Achrei Mois. And sometimes it's Shabbos Mevorch, sometimes it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, sometimes it's Macha Chodesh. There's always an excuse not to say Teves Yerushalayim. And a lot of Chumashim is printed that Teves Yerushalayim is Haftarah for Kedoshim for this week, but the minig is that we don't recite that Haftarah. The minig is that we recite Alok Ibnei Kushim. Now Soloveitchik claimed that where he came from in Europe, the minig was that even if you have no excuse to kick off either of the Haftarah, so you say 2 weeks in a row Alok Ibnei Kushim Atamri, that you never say this Haftarah Teves Yerushalayim. Others don't have that minig, but that's what he claimed the minig was where he came from in Europe. And now in Eretz Yisrael, when they print the Luach, so they quote this in his name. He's the only one who remembers such a thing. So Roya Dovolitsky prints a Luach every year. So he prints in his Luach, the Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he's from Bnei Brak, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that in Litva they never said this Haftarah. Some Achreinim say that it's a mistake, that this is not the chapter in Yecheskel that the Tanoim were fighting about Bechlal. It's not that Reb Leizer was opposed to reciting a Haftorah where the Navi complains about the sins of the Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael. All the Nevi'im are complaining about the sins. All Haftorahs, every other Haftorah, they're complaining about the sins. The haftarah that he chose, Rabbi Lezer said, you shouldn't say, it's a different one that starts off with a similar phrase about Tevis Yushalayim, but it complains, Habitu el Avraham Avichem Sarah to Cholelchem, I think, where the Navi complains about Avraham and Sarah, that they must have been miserable people, that they have such miserable descendants. So that's the haftarah that he says you should avoid saying, not Tevis Yushalayim. And that's why the Braisa quotes the story. What does it mean? What's the parallelism that whoever is anti-Zionist is a mamzer? Why? So they say no. I think the Pichodesh Tan is like that. He says no. The argument was, why do you condemn? Why should you recite a haftarah condemning Avraham and Sarah that they must have been terrible people, that they brought up such terrible descendants, such terrible children? What about your parents? They're such wonderful people. Your parents also were sinners. It's a contrast between Avraham and Sarah, who had their children, and your parents, who had their children. But Lamaisa, that is the minute that we usually avoid, or we always avoid, reciting this Haftarah Bateis Yushalayim. The opening pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim sounds like it's a repeat. Kedoshim tiu kikodesh ani Hashem alokechem. We should be kedoshim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh. It sounds like the Halakha B'drachov, that we should go in the ways of God because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of us B'Tzelem Elokim. We have this already within us, and we should preserve this Tzelem Elokim that we have. That's the simple pshat over here. There is a Sifra has a comment on the Pasuk. Kedoshim Tiyu Yochol Kamoni, maybe a human being should try to attain the level of Kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Kamalami kikodesh ani alakechem, kikodesh ani Hashem alakechem, kidushasi lamaila mikdushaschem, that my kidusha is on a higher level from your kidusha. So, where exactly do you see in the pasuk that there's a difference between the kidusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and kidusha b'nei Yisrael? One could have read the pasuk otherwise. It sounds like kidushim tiyu kikodesh ani Hashem alakechem. We should attain the same level of kidusha as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you see kidushasi lamaila mikdushaschem? It's unclear. So some say because the word Kedoshim Tiyu is written Choser and Kikodesh Ani is written Molei. And the drasha of the Torah's Kahanim was from the fact that there's in the same Pasuk, once it's written Choser, once it's written Molei, so that means that the Kedush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Molei, that's a fuller, in a fuller sense. And the Kedush of Bnei Yisrael is Choser, it's less. There was a Rav in Europe who printed a whole Sefer where he claims that there are many, many, many drushes. It's 150 drushes in the Gemara, 200 drushes, I don't know, that are based on Molei and Choser. That the Gemara never says explicitly, but that's what it's based on. So he says this is one of them, Molei and Choser. He quotes also a drusha that no one ever knows what the pshat is. The Gemara says that Bizman Baisheni, there were many debates, many disputes between the Tzukim and the Prushim. So one of them was, when you make a paraduma, the people who do the paraduma have to be tohar. So how tohar do they have to be? What if they went to mikveh but they didn't yet have harav shemesh? They're a tful yom. So tful yom is tohar with respect to chulin purposes. A tful yom is tohar with respect to eating ma'aser sheni. Tovel v'yolo oichel b'ma'aser. When a person is tummy, he goes to mikveh, he can eat ma'aser sheni that day, but he's not allowed to eat truma until harav shemesh. He's not allowed to eat touch until he brings edi kaparasai. So what's the din with respect to asiyas paraduma? Is a person who's a tvil yom, is he permitted to perform is he permitted to be mazed? He's a tar al atomi. Can he be mazed may paradumi? Can he be involved in sreifas apar and so on? So the tzedukim are of the opinion that you have to have, if the purpose of paradumi is to bring tahara for those who are atomi, so you require that the people who are involved in the asiyas apar have to be the maximum tahara. You cannot use a tvil yom. And the Mishnah records that the Chachamim did not agree, and Kedei Lahotzi Milibam Shalat Tzedukim, to demonstrate that they don't accept anything that Tzedukim say, Bein Lahachmer, Bein Lahakil, even a Chumraleh, so Ben Tamen Hoyo Akoina Sarifas Hapar, they used to be Metamehim, and have him go to Mikveh and Bedafke, have him Sarif, do burn the Paraduma in the state of Tvul Yom, to demonstrate that we don't even hold as Amidas Chasidus, to be Machmer for what the Tzedukim said. So the Gemara says, and how did the Chachamim know from the Chumash that their argument is wrong? It's not such a bad idea. If the whole purpose of Paraduma is to accomplish Tahara, so maybe the people who are involved in Asiyas HaPara and Hazuas Meipara should be on the highest level of Tahara. So the Gemara says, no, it says in the Pasuk, He's a tahar alatam, a tahar koldu. As long as he's tahar, tahar koldu. Where do you see in the pasuk tahar koldu? Nobody explains what the drush is. So this Rav in his sefer says, because the word tahar is spelled chosavo. So it means that he has an incomplete tahara. Where did this rabbi get this einfall from, that this is one of the nidish atar in the drush spam, that if a word is spelled mole chaser, that he quoted from the Vilna Gaon, vertlach like that, bor, bar chaser, bar mole, the Vilna Gaon says, yiftach yishbar, kiyichri yishbar, so the same word appears twice in the same pasuk. The word bor, once it's spelled with a bar, once spelled without a bar, and the Vilna Gaon says, that's where the Chazal got the mocker, that first it's a bor tes, then he was mashal, and he made it a bor yud. Yeah, but does it ever say this in the Gemara? This is all from the Vilna Gaon. So he quotes the Gemara in Ksuba. So the Gemara speaks about the spelling of the word Naira. The word Naira is usually spelled in Tanakh Nun Ayin Resh, and once in a long while it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh. And the Gemara says that there's a difference, that Naira with a hey is a Naira Mole. Only a Naira. Naira Chasa without a hey at the end includes a Ktana as well. But whatever it says Naira with a hey at the end, it does not include a Ktaira. Naira. It does not include a Ktana. It has to be Dafka Naira Mole. This is the theme of this whole sefer. So he says the drasha was from Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem Elokei. What was the Hava Mina? What was the Maskana? What do you mean that a human being should attain the same level as of Kedusha as HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And Kamash Malan, that he shouldn't strive for that? Exactly in what area? Yeah.
You can answer that question. But with regard to the Paraduma, everybody involved in the Paraduma is Koyam?
I think so.
The Pasuk is not talking about the Paras.
Yeah, that goes on Behiza. Yeah, Behiza Atahar Alatami. But the Gemara quotes that Pasuk on everything. On the Sreifis Atahar. The Taman Hoyakoyan Asarifis Atahar. I think so. Yeah. So what exactly was the Havamina? What was the Maskana? So Reb Shimon Shkop has a whole fantastic explanation in the Hagdama to his Shari Yosha. In the biography of Reb Shimon Shkop, that was written in Eretz Yisrael by Aaron Seresky, so he has a whole chapter on this vort that he has in the Hagdama. It's an interesting beer. Rather, last night I saw an interesting comment from Tzvi Pesach Frank's. They have the Sefer HaTzvi Anchumi from Tzvi Pesach Frank. So they have from many other people, what he said over from other people. So once in a long while they have from his grandson by marriage, Rabbi Yosef HaKoyen. He used to be in Harry Fishel, I think. He gave the Sherman Harry Fishel Machon. So he has an interesting comment on this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so holy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha is so great, he can survive, his Kedusha will survive, even if Shaykh Anita Mesech to Moisam. The Rabbani Shalom can be Mashu Shechinasam on a world which is full of sin and full of evil and everything, and it's not Poikim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha. So he suggests, perhaps that's what the Tanaim were raising as a Havamina. Yochel Kamoni, maybe human beings will think that they can attain a level of Kedusha and they can also do this stunt. They can live in a contaminated environment and their Kedusha, they'll be above everything, they won't be affected by anything that's happening around them. Tamalaymar, Ki Kodesh Ani Kedushasi L'mayla M'Kedushasim, that you better not try that stunt, that it won't work. By the Rebbeinu Shalom, his Kedusha is so great, he will not be affected by his environment. And human beings are affected by their environment. There is an interesting, there's a din in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chai Vodam Letar Atzma Baregel, that everybody's supposed to go to Mikvah before Sholosh Regalim. In the Rosh, in the end of Maseches Yuma, quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoyim that he's supposed to go to the Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's a discussion in the Shagasari. What is that all about? Why do you have to go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur? So some understood this to be an extension of the din of Chayav Adam Tahor Atzmo Baregel. The regel is Lav Dafke Sholosh Regalim. The Shagasari says that it's not so. Shagasari quotes the Rambam. Chayav Adam Tahor Atzmo Baregel is only on Sholosh Regalim. Is Mancha Beis Hamikdash Hayakayim, because you have to enter the Azara. So if you're not going to be Mitar yourself, you won't be able to enter the Azara. It's as simple as all that. But what Shaychus does it have with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? If you want to go into the Azara to watch the Kain Godel do the Avodah, so as a go to Mikveh and have Harashemesh. If Rosh Hashanah, you're interested in listening to the Baal Tefillah, if they have such a Gevaldig Baal Tefillah based on Mikveh, you should go to the Mikveh and David in the Azara. If not, so David in the Yeshiva. So you don't have to go to Mikveh. But there are others who understood, no, that that's what the Gaon meant to say. Chai varum taratz mebregel applies even bisman hazeh, even bisman shein beis hamikdash kaim, and it applies even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, not only on Shavuot Gom, has nothing to do with aliyah leregel. So what is it based on? So it's based on the concept that if a person is tamei, he won't be able to experience to the fullest extent the kedusha asyantiv. So why not suggest the same on Shabbos? So these achrayim say, they claim based on Kabbalah, whatever, that the kedusha Shabbos is so great, the tumah that the person is in will not be poigim his experience of the kedusha. The kedusha asyantiv is not as great as kedusha Shabbos. So if you're going to be in a state of tumah, it'll detract from your ability to absorb, to imbibe from the Kedusha Sayyid. But the Kedusha Shabbos is so great, so that it doesn't require that the person should be in a state of Tara. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this in the Gilyone HaShas on Maseches Chagiga, and he rips it apart. He shows from Gemaras that it's not so. He shows from Gemaras that there is an Indian to go to Mikvan Erev Shabbos also. That the Kedusha Shabbos is great as it is, but if the person will be in a state of Tara, that will enhance his experience of Kedusha Shabbos. So he thinks the whole vort is not correct. Anyway, but that's what an interesting suggestion. Maybe that's what the Tanoim are driving at, Kedushasi Lemaile Mekedushaschem, that the Havamina Yochel Kamoni perhaps was alluding to that. Yochel Kamoni, maybe the human being can be on such a high level of Kedusha that he will be above everything that's happening around him. Tamaloimar, Kedushani Kedushasi Lemaile Mekedushaschem, that we shouldn't try it. That we just will not succeed. It's too difficult to do such a thing. We have the two mitzvahs of Kibud and Mora Aviyein. There's a din of, this week is Mother's Day. Sunday is Mother's Day. It's the Parshas HaShavua. By us, Shabbos is Mother's Day. By them, Sunday is Mother's Day. They observe Shabbos on Sunday. So the Kriyas HaTorah by them on Sunday is Parshas Kedoshim, I guess. So the Torah has the two mitzvahs. You have in the Aseres HaDibros, we have Kibud Aviyem. And in Parshas Kedoshim, we have the mitzvah of Mor Aviyem. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, quoted in the Rambam, the Gemara gives what's the definition of Kibud, what's the definition of Mor. So the simple pshat is that Kibud means services rendered towards the parents. The children are mechuyif to service the parents, to be mahana them. If the parents want, your mother wants you to take down the garbage, she wants you to go shopping, she wants you to deliver something to someone else, they ask for service. When the parents are older, so they need a little help getting dressed, getting from one place to the other, whatever, servicing the parents. Or the parents enjoy servicing the parents, means the parents enjoy. The children never go home. Children are always by their friends. They're in the yeshiva, they're by their friends, they're never home. And the parents want this pleasure. They want to have the pleasure of having their children, at least on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. They should eat the table to see their children once in a while. Well, let's say the children get married, so it's unreasonable to expect that the son, he has a job in Florida, so it's unreasonable to expect that he should come visit his father every day, visit his mother every day to say hello. The mother lives in New York, the son lives in Florida. But once in a while to visit and to call on the phone within a reasonable fashion and to send photographs or to send letters or something to maintain contact, so that's to be mahana the parents, that's kibbut. Kibbut means to be mahana the parents, to service the parents. And Mora means to give respect. We usually say kovod means respect. And here the Gemara says that kibud means service and Mora means respect. Not to call a parent by the first name and not to... In America everybody likes to feel young. So you have a lot of parents, Bedavka insists that the children should call them by the first name. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that that's a terrible thing. He thought that the parent has no right to be moichel on the kovod. And the child is not allowed to call his mother or his father by the first name, even if that's what they want. There's some things that you're not allowed to be moichel on. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, the parent can be moichel on the kovod, but it can't be moichel on his bizoya. So she thought this is called bizoya. It's not a question of kovod. So you're not allowed to lay yeshivim kum, lay yistos dvarim, and so on. This is a mora. So they're two different mitzvahs. Tosis in Bava Kama points out that we don't have a neutral gender in Hebrew. Everything, every... When you write a sentence or you speak in Hebrew, either it's in the masculine or in the feminine. So kol ha-tarakula, Tosis writes, b'loshim zachar nemra. The whole Torah is written in the masculine. And hishva kosav isha liish. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim and Bava Kama daf tezvah. That all the dinim, even though they're written in the masculine, apply to the women as well. Except if it says ish. If it says ish, then it usually means ish prat l'isha, or ish prat l'kotna, or ish prat l'something. So here it says, Ish imavu yavuf tiro. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Kiddushin. Ish sounds like women are exempt from the din of kibud aviyim. Is that possible? So he says, no, it says tira'u in the plural. If it only would be referring to the ish, it should say tira, not tira'u. So the fact that it's written in the plural applies equally to the men and to the women. So bottom line, why does it say ish? Ish pat l'kotten. A kotten is not mechuyev in any mitzvah. You don't need a miyot over here that the kotten is part of in this mitzvah. So that means ish prat leisha, if the woman is married, then she goes, she lives with her husband, let's say the parents live in New York, and the girl marries the boy from Florida, and he goes into the father's business in Florida. So if she's married to, and the mother doesn't feel well, so the mother wants her to come take care of her. So she can't take care of her. She has to take care of her children in Florida. She can't just fly off and tell her husband, she has 10 babies in Florida, tell her husband, go get babysitters, I have to take care of my mother. You can't do that. So that's the pasuk ish prat leisha means in certain cases if the woman is married, so she can't. It's not really a miyot on the mora; it's really a miyot on the kibud. That's what the achrayim says. Kaken the gemara be medayik this drasha from the pasuk tira'u. This drasha, the miyot avish, should only be in the area of kibud, not in the area of mora. So good the kasha. But that's what it goes on the din of kibud. Yeah, what's the nature of the miyot? So the Pashto says the nature that it means whenever it's unreasonable, let's say the child does live in the same city, but the mother's crazy. The mother expects her daughter to come every single day to cook dinner for her. But the mother's not an invalid. Well, if the mother's an invalid, it's a different story. You've got to figure out how is she going to take care of her own family? How is she going to take care of the mother? The mother needs help. She's an invalid. But if the mother's a healthy woman and she wants her daughter every day to come, so that's unreasonable. It's the same thing by single children, by married children. It doesn't make a difference, the son, the daughter. The klal is, ish prat leisha, if the woman is married, so she has shibudim to the husband, to her family, she can't service the parents all the time. But it's the same even by the husband also. It doesn't have to be, once the son gets married and he moves away. So it's also unreasonable to expect that he should come visit every Shabbos. Whenever it's unreasonable, then there's no din of kibud aviyim. So that's often a machlokes. What's reasonable, what's unreasonable? So you have to ask a third impartial person to determine what's within reason and what's not reasonable. Then the Gemara has the miut, ishimu v'yavetiro v'shapsoisa tishmoru. It really goes, also this drasha doesn't go on the mora, it goes on the kibud. Shapsoisa tishmoru means that if the kibud have the aim of servicing the parents will involve violation of one of the mitzvahs ha-teira, so then shapsoisa tishmoru ani Hashem alakecha. That you're not allowed to violate Dina HaTorah. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin extends the din. It's not only here, you have a pasuk regarding Kibud Aviyim. But the same din applies to Kvod HaMelech. We are obligated. There are certain authorities that we're supposed to be kofef to. We're supposed to be kofef to the parents, we're supposed to be kofef to the Melech. So let's say the Melech insists that everybody should do Melech on Shabbos in order to enhance his wealth. He wants everybody to build him a palace on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to listen to the Melech. The Melech has no right to demand of the people such a thing. Human authority only applies whenever the Torah gives human beings authority. It only applies when it's not in violation with Torah laws. Whenever it's in violation with Dina Torah, so there's no authority at all. In Eretz Yisrael, they just put out a new sefer by Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kukman. He was old and sick in the last 10 years of his life. He needed someone to take care of him. So they had a bacher from the yeshiva took care of him. So apparently people pressured this bacher to write a whole book now. He just came out with it. So the whole purpose of the whole book apparently is Sirif Kuda. Because every chapter in the book is only 3 pages long. And that chapter is 25 pages long. So obviously that's the essence of the book. That there are those who learned by Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk. Those who write over all of his drushes very well, and they're encouraging the soldiers that if the government insists that they should evacuate Gush Katif, they should listen to the government orders. Ratzvi Yehuda Kuk used to say fakir. Whenever the government tells you to do something that's keneged adin, and this he assumed is keneged adin, so you're not allowed to listen. So this fellow was apparently encouraged to put out this book to testify that he heard firsthand from Ratzvi Yehuda Kuk. So that's what he keeps on repeating. The theme of the book is Moshe Kibbol Tarmi Sinai Masorah L'Rab Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Masorah L'Beno. Who says? His son said so. Rav Tzvi Yehuda said when he was in Switzerland with his father. The father taught him Kol HaTorah Kulo twice. And he says, really? This fellow said, really? He says, Vajuden? Malo? Barur? So Moshe Kibbutz Tarmisi and Misara, the Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Katoin Kulo. Avraham Yitzchak taught Kol HaTorah Kulo twice, the son of Tzvi Yehuda. And during his lifetime, he appointed him that he should be in charge of the yeshiva. Then Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda was the head of the yeshiva. He appointed Rabbi Avraham Shapiro as the Rosh Yeshiva. So Moshe Kibbutz Tarmisi went to Rabbi Avraham Shapiro. And this is their opinion, and he said it many times, and it's very clear, and he keeps on emphasizing. So he, on this topic, he brings out the notion that the real melech of Eretz Yisrael, that's what it says in the Zohar, the real king of Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says in the Pasuk in Koheles, Ashvech Eretz Shemalkech Ben Chorin. It's the praises of the country whose king is a Ben Chorin. What does that mean? So the Zohar interprets Shemalkech Ben Chorin that the king of Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives freedom to people. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that when it comes Shnas HaYoyvel, the Eved Ibi goes free. When it comes Sheish, the Eved Ibi goes free. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives human beings freedom. So it's the praises of Eretz Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. But we have the Melech Basav Adam. So the Melech Basav Adam is a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's like a Shaliach. So that's what Yehuda Cook used to say. And we have a klal in the Gemara, the Skuni Shedartech V'lo La'avusei. If I sent a Shliach to do something for me, and he did something kakai that's clearly not in accordance with my instructions, even I didn't spell out everything. So there's no tokif to what he did. So that's what Rav Tzvi Yehuda is to say, that there's no tokif to what the government says or does if they do against the halach. When it comes to dinim amanin, so there's a din of din, and the machus a din, that's along the lines of hefke bez hefke. So the Knesset has a right, the government has a right to make laws temporarily. Real laws are what it says in the Choshem Mishpat and Dinim Amnes. The Knesset has a right temporarily to use the power of Dinim Machus Adina, which is similar to Hefke Bez Nefke, fine. But to institute a Din Kavua, the Doiris, even in Dinim Amnes, is Keneged Alocha. We don't follow Dinim Machusa against Dinim HaTorah, or to say something in the area of Isa Vehetar. Certainly the government has no tokev. So this issue of Eretz Yisrael belonging to the Jews, the non-observant people in Eretz Yisrael think is just an issue of dinim amanus. That's what they quote in the newspapers, that the non-observant think is just the real estate. So give them away the real estate, what's the big deal? Give them some more karka, shine. But the halacha considers this a matter of isa v'heta, that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people and it's inhabited by the Jewish people. The Jews have a right to live all over in Eretz Yisrael. This is considered an issue of Isa V'het. It's not merely considered. It's also Dinim Amanus, but it's also Isa V'het. So that's what, that was apparently the main theme of this book. No? Okay. Very interesting. Parts of the book are a little humorous, and other parts of the book are serious. This is a powerful quotation. That is correct. The government in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the real Melech. And the Rishonim comment, the Mordechai comments on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that HaMelech Shemachal HaKvodo, Ein Kvodo Mochol, why is that the Jewish king cannot be Mochol on his Kavod? So he quotes from the Piyut, HaMamlech Malochim, V'lo HaMlucha, the kingdom really belongs to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us, so he intervenes, and he sees to it that he appoints kings, but V'lo HaMlucha, he retains the status of the Melech, so the Melech can't be Mochol on his Kavod. He's not the balabas on Kavod HaMelech. The Kavod HaMelech represents Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's only a shaliach, and there is a principle, the skunish data of lolavus. Anyway, this is the original pasuk by Ishim v'yavtirash apsayset tishmaru. This is on the authority. Parents have authority, so this human authority of parents is limited. It's not. It doesn't apply when it's in violation of laws of the Torah. Even a din derabbanan, even a minig. Even a minute. Let's say one parent died and the other parent is alive, and the parent has the heebie-jeebies when his child is going to say Kaddish. I'm still alive. And he said, but my mother died. My father's alive, my mother died. My father doesn't want me to say Kaddish. What do you mean he doesn't want me to say Kaddish? It says in Shulchan Aruch, that's a minig all over the world. Everybody says Kaddish. So that's in violation of the din and the pasuk, even though it's only a minig to say Kaddish. But if the child wants to fast Bahab or something, that's not a widespread minig. Some people have this minig and not everybody does it. So then if it bothers the parent, if it's blocking the parent from having the hanor that he wants to have with his child, so then the child should violate that minig if it's not a widespread minig. But if it's either a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, or even a minig, the parents have no right to evoke their authority.
However, if you would explain some of the wide latitude that the Torah gives to a king to, for example, to execute people himself or not by the faith of his children, so whether he tax the only basis to do.
To levy taxes, that's din in the machusa, that's din in mominus. That he says that we know. And then to execute people, the function of the king is to maintain law and order. So if he has circumstantial evidence that someone is a murderer, so then the Rambam quotes from the Gemara that he has the right to kill him based on circumstantial evidence also. Lo'iru asho l'migda milsa, because that's the function of the king. That's his job. That's his job. Yeah. I don't think that's a yaitzim and a cloud. I think that is the cloud. That is what the king is there for. To maintain law and order.
He's not upholding the laws that they are in the books that are based on
the Bezdin gives Mrs. Bezdin, official Mrs. Bezdin, but the Bezdin also is machnisim also l'kipa. The Gemara says the Bezdin also gives unofficial death penalty. Reminds you, the guy's going to be dead. The Bezdin will starve him to death also based on circumstantial evidence and so on, edis mi'cheres and so on. So whatever the Bezdin can use to give machnis mos of a kippah, the melech has a right to use to give the same. That's also a form of kippah. Same thing, the other rabbi, that's not an exception to the rule. That's what the function of the king is, to maintain law and order. Rashi comments on the pasuk Lirtzonchem Tizbachu. He says the pasuk pshat lefi pshuta gives you a French word appeasement. Lirtzonchem, liratzon lachem should be meratze. All the karbonos are boim liritzui. Ritzui is a verb that appears in Tanakh. Rubid appears in connection with karbonos. Very rarely, not in connection with karbonos. It appears in connection with Eizet Tzom Evchareho by a Tainus, also says the Erzebo, because a Tainus is also like Hakrovas HaKorban, the Gemara says. Miyat Chalbeinu V'Tameinu is accepted by Kodesh Boch as if we had offered it as a Korban on the Mizbeach. The term Lirotza means usually in connection with Karbanis. But then it says, Rashi says, Rabbi Senadosh, Lom Demikan, another Drosha, an additional level of interpretation. That's not Lefi Pshuto. Lirotza in Chem means, Mikan la Mesasgit Kochim Shepossel, Shepsorach Sheiskaben Lishchog. If a person has Gabri, throws a knife, and he didn't realize that he wants to throw a knife to hit the target. And then he hits the target, or he doesn't hit the target, and Derech Agav, he shechts an animal. He didn't even know that there was an animal there. But he did a koyach gavra of throwing the knife. So then the shechita by chulin would be good. That's a machlek in satanayim and the Gemara, where the shechita tzvicha kavana, shechita ain't tzvicha kavana. And the maskana aloha lemais is the shechita ain't tzvicha kavana. But by shechita skotchim, so she is kavin lishchot. He has to have in mind, not only that he has to know that he's shechting an animal, he has to realize that this is a korban. Let's say he thought it's a behemas chulin, and he didn't realize that he's shechting a korban. He thought he's shechting chulin in the azor. So it's also no good. That's also called mesasik. Mesasik is pasul bikotchim. That's learned out from the word litzadrosha. That's not the pshutush on mikro. Tzadrosha is chachamim, an additional level of interpretation. This was a question regarding there was a machlekes Rab Chaim Eisen Nechazanish regarding this din. The mesasik bikotchim is pasul. Is it only a din in Shechitas Kochim, or does it apply to all the Dalar Avodas? Does it apply to the Kabbalah Saddam, Halacha Saddam, and the Zrika Saddam? What if the Kohen does it, but he doesn't realize what he's doing? Is that kosher or not? I already forgot who held which website. Rab Chaim Moshe printed his a volume of Achiezer, and then the Chazon Ish sent a letter to the editor of one of the Torah journals in Vilna at the time, and he didn't sign his name to it. He wrote some fictitious name, and he saw the new Sefer Achiezer by the local rabbi, by Rabbi Chaim Moshe, was the rabbi in Vilna, beautiful Sefer, but he disagrees on one thing, and he quoted the Malchamas and Brochus, I think, to disagree on this issue, whether misasik b'kotchim posel, is it only a din eshchita, it's a special din eshchita's kotchim, or it's a din in shchita because shchita is an avodah. They quoted on Mohammed, so they said that when Rav Chaim Oizer read the newspaper, and he saw someone wrote this, and he knew it couldn't have been anybody other than the Chazon Ish. He assumed that he had written, no one else would know that Mohammed had brought this. I think the beginning of brought this. Mohammed, I think, understands that it's a din in all avodas. It's not a din that's unique to shchita. That's a shaila. Whether leitzonchem tizbachu, the shchitas kotchem needs kavone, the misasi of kotchem is possible, is it only a din in the shchitas kotchem or it's a din in all avodas? I seem to remember, vaguely, a long time ago, I seem to remember Rav Soloveitchik said that even a shchitas psuli hamigdoshim would be possible. The din is when you have a korban that had a mum kavua, then you can be poided. As a mum oiver, so you can't be magrovit, but you can't be poided either. But if it develops a mum kavua, then you can be poided. After you poided, it's yotze lechulin, and you eat it, and you shecht it, and you eat it. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, tizbach v'achalta. How does the Gemara learn that? Tizbach v'achalta basar. So the Gemara says tizbach v'lagiza, basar v'lechala v'achalta v'lo l'klavecha. That psula hamikdashim, you shecht it. You're not allowed to feed it to the dogs. You're not allowed to feed it to nochrim, and you're not allowed to drink the milk of the psula hamikdashim, and you're not allowed to shear off the wool of the psula hamikdashim. So Rav Soloveitchik said over the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and apparently Rav Velvela Soloveitchik used to say this over also the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. It must be in the notes on Zvachim that he quoted the name of his brother Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that the pshat is that Psule HaMukdoshim really retains its Kedusha. The Gemara says it's still, the Gemara says in Kedusha still has an Isa Giza Vavayga. If you do Lo Sava B'Vachosh Erech or Lo Sogas B'Chor Tzanecho Alavim, Atu Lavim that get Malkus. So the Gemara says if you do Giza Vavayga and Asher Psule HaMukdoshim after being Poidit, you still get Malkus. You say Ahadri Lisurikama, you still get Malkus on that. So it retains its Kedusha. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik interpreted in this Gemara, the only heta you have is if you do shchita on it, so the shchita is materit b'achino. So that's why it's tizbach v'lo giza. The only heta it has is shchita. Giza, it's still kodesh. The achalta v'lo l'klavecha, the klovim don't need shchita to be mater. The nochim don't need shchita to be mater. So the shchita is only mater for those who need shchita. And drinking milk doesn't need shchita either. So that's why tizbach. That's why we say basav alay cholav, that you're not allowed to drink the milk, the cholav of shor psul hamikdashim, because it doesn't have the matter of the shchita. So I think that's what Rav Soloveitchik said from his father. Then I think he added on, I don't think this was from his father, I think Rav Soloveitchik added on that he thought that the shchita is b'torah shchitas kotchim, not b'torah shchitas chulin. So let's say in the midbar, when Bisar Nechira was, if one should assume that Bisar Nechira was mutter in the midbar before they came into Eretz Yisrael. The machlekes in Chulin and Daf Yud Zayin, the machlekes in Rekivir Rabbi Shmuel. So if one should assume that the Hilcha Shchita didn't begin to be followed by Chulin in the Midbar when they brought a carbon and the Beis Hamikdash, they required Shchita, Shchitas Kotchim. But if they wanted to shecht an animal as Chulin, so they wouldn't require, they weren't required to do Shchita. So let's say there would be a carbon that would be Humam Benivde Asher Psul Hamikdashim. So would it be sufficient to do Nechira? Would you require Shchita? So Rav Soloveitchik thought you would require shchita for that in the midbar also. And he said even after they crossed over the Yarden, and now you always need shchita, but he said the din of shchita's kotchim is different from the din of shchita's chulin. He thought that this din is a din of shchita only, it's not a din in all the avodas. It's a din of shchita's kotchim. Like in the midbar, shchita's kotchim is different from shchita's chulin. So he thought that the shchita's psul hamikdashim would require a kavana, that misasik, the kotchim posel, perhaps should apply also to a sharp sula amigdoshim. And if you shecht it, if you say shchit ein tzircha kavana, and you shecht the psul amigdoshim, b'li kavana, he thought that it would be also le'achloi.
Then all the subsequent avodas should have the same thing as
mean that misasin should be possible by you all with a kal v'chomer? Could be. I don't know. So it's a good argument. Got to look through Gemara. They had an argument based on Gemara. It's an interesting point. Pasuk has the prohibition of saying sheker, losheshakru ish ba'misoi, but the context of the pasuk is not stam telling sheker about other things. It goes on sheker in an issue of dini mominis. It says losignoivu, losechachashuv, losheshakru ish ba'misoi, to deny that I owe money to someone else. If someone asks me, what do I do for a living, and I say I'm a pilot, I tell a lie, that's not really included in this pasuk. That's not unless I'm applying for a job as a pilot, and I tell them a lie. I've been a pilot for the last 45 years, so I get the job based on false information. So that's lo shishakru ish ba'misoi. That's I'm cheating the other person in the area of dini mominis based on giving a sheker. Or if I fill out a false income tax form, so I'm not going to pay the full amount that I owe the government based on sheker. So that's the pasuk. That's lo shignavu, lo shechachshav, lo shishakru ish ba'misoi. That's what it goes on. That's not telling sheker. It's not really from this pasuk. The prohibition against telling sheker is based on a different pasuk. The Gemara Kiddushin quotes the pasuk in Navi: "Sheres Yisrael Yasal Avlo Belo Yidabru Kozov." The Jewish people don't tell lies. But that's only the pasuk in Navi. Where's the pasuk in Chumash? So it's assumed that it's included in the pasuk of Halachta Bedrocha Mahu Afato, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chaisom Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The Rebbeinu Shlom usually doesn't tell lies. Once in a while, he does tell a lie. We have by Avraham Avinu that Muta L'shanes Mepnei Darki Shalom. That when Avraham Avinu when Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells him they're going to have a baby, Avraham Avinu tells Sarah that they're going to have a baby. So Sarah said, "How is that possible? Adoni Zokim, my husband is such an old man. How can he possibly?" Father a baby now. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it over to Avraham Avinu, he didn't tell him that his wife said, "My husband is an old man, he's falling apart." He said, "Vaniza Kanti, I'm an old lady." He was afraid that he was going to tell Avraham Avinu the verbatim quotation, it'll affect his shalom bayis. You're not supposed to tell a husband exactly what his wife said to ruin their marriage. It's permissible to tell a lie a little bit. So the Rebbeinu Shlom himself tells white lies on occasion. So we also have an obligation to tell a lie. But it's not really based on this pasuk. That's the prohibition that we have to tell lies in life is based on a different pasuk. There is a Gemara in the first parak in Bava Basra. The Gemara lists off who wrote the various Sifri HaTanach. Moshe Kosov Sifro, Yeshua Ben Nun wrote Yeshua, Shoftim wrote Shoftim, whatever. Okay. All the difference from who wrote all the different Sifri HaTanach. So the Gemara has a machloikis over there regarding the Shemoneh Pesukim Shabbat Torah, the last eight Pesukim in Chumash Dvarim, which starts from the word Vayomas Shamoisha Eved Hashem. Could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Vayomas Shamoisha? It wasn't true. How is he going to write Sheker? So one Tana claims it was written by Yeshua Ben Nun, and that's what it says in Sefer Yeshua. It says something about Yeshua Ben Nun writing something. The other Tana says, no, he wrote Sefer Yeshua. It doesn't mean he wrote the Shemoneh Pesukim Shabbat Torah. He wrote in Sefer Yeshua about the Ari Miklot. It says he wrote something had to do with the Chumash. The Gemara says, yeah, he wrote the Parshas Ari Miklot in Sefer Yeshua in fulfillment of the din that it says in Chumash that he's going to have to set aside. He's going to have to designate the Ari Miklot. So one Tana says, it was all written by Moshe Rabbeinu. How could he write by Yom Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem as Sheker? So the Gemara says, until now, Kodesh Baruch Hu would dictate the text of the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu Omer V'Kosev. He would say the words, he would pronounce the pasuk, and then he would write it. And Mikan V'Yelach, the concluding eight pesukim in the Chumash, since it wasn't true, so HaKodesh Baruch Hu Omer, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, he just wrote it. So the Marshal quotes that there are those who said, based on this Gemara, that the Yisr Sheker is only if you say it with your lips. If you write Sheker, there's no Yisr Sheker. So if you fill out a false income tax form, as long as you don't say a lie, as long as you don't tell a lie, that's okay. So the Marsha says that that's ridiculous. What, the Issa Shek is only an Issa I'm talking. But some people, when they fill out their tax form, so they sign the name first, before they wrote the Sheker. So when they sign, there's no Sheker. It's blank. Then after they sign the name, or a work study program, you know, government funds, they give the money. So the guy writes that he worked all 7 days a week, Shabbos included, and he turned on the lights, and he turned on the lights, and the yeshiva. He worked 7 days a week cleaning the floors and everything and washing the dishes 20 hours a day. It's kula sheker. So if he signs his name first, at the time that he signed his name, he didn't do any sheker. He's mahadrin, a man of mahadrin. He doesn't say it with his lips. And then when he signs, everything is blank, so there's no sheker. And then he fills it in later. So that's not sheker. Of course it's sheker. What's the difference? When he signed your name first, he signed your name last. Same is a sheker. What's pshat in the Gemara is a problem. What was accomplished by Moshe Rabbeinu not pronouncing the words? It's still sheker. How can you write sheker? It's a problem. But the prohibition of sheker applies whether you pronounce it with your lips. Only sheker b'svasa v'zasa. Sheker is an expression in the Tehillim about using your lips for sheker. Sheker is an iser without speaking also. Los Kal Cheirish is a fascinating pasuk. We must have spoken about it this year. The Rambam quotes this pasuk twice, counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. And the Ramban asks on the Rambam, that the Rambam himself wrote in the Sharoshim, in the Klolim, Rambam writes 14 Klolim, 14 principles that guide him to determine what should be included in Minyan HaMitzvahs, what not. So he has in Sharosh Tes, one of the longer Klolim. He writes that if you have one pasuk which has many levels of interpretation, he gives you the example from today's Sedra, L'soch lo al Adam, the Gemara has different levels of interpretation, so you only include that once in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So there's only one pasuk. So there's only one pasuk, it only counts as one lav, despite the fact that it includes many different interpretations. So here the Rambam himself counts the pasuk twice. L'osik al cherish is a lav, you're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who can't hear. L'osik al cherish, ha'makal alodim Yisrael. And then the pasuk says at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, one who curses a parent is chayiv skila. Ki ish ish asher yikala l'sav v'sim mos yumas avim akilo dom of bo. Dom of bo means a skila. Maka avim is chayiv misa, but not skila. Mekala avim is worse than maka avim. So the Gemara says, and where's the law for mekala avim? So the Gemara says it's included in the same law. Losik kal cheres. So the Rambam counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. One lav shaloi l'kal alodim Yisrael, and another lav shaloi l'kal alov v'ima. So the Ramban asks, how can he count the same lav twice? He himself wrote in the Shorish Tes, but you don't count the same lav twice. So the Ramban has the kasha on two mitzvahs, and then the Mishlam Melech adds on another two mitzvahs. Maisi, there are four mitzvahs that the Rambam counts twice. So on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Megillas Esther has a running commentary to defend the Rambam from all of the Hasagas and Ramban. So he quotes from the Sefer Zohar HaRakia. Zohar HaRakia is by the Rashbe. It's a commentary on... he wrote his own Sefer HaMitzvahs. Rashbe has made his own listing of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he gives you klolim. What are the guiding principles to determine what should be included, what should not be included? So he suggests to defend the Rambam over here. He says, when does the Rambam say that you only counted once in the Minyan HaMitzvahs? If one of the prohibitions that's included, you have a pasuk that has 10 Isurim included in it. So if one of them has Malkus and the others don't have Malkus, or if they all have Malkus, if that's possible. But if one of them has Malkus, one of them has Miso, so then the Rambam is forced into counting it twice. That's why it's different over here. Let's say you have a pasuk, Lo Sinof. So Losinov sometimes gets straight for Baskan Shizinsa, and sometimes it's Skila, if she's an Araham Rasa Shizinsa, and sometimes it's Chenek, if it's an Isua Shizinsa. So the Rambam says, not like the Bahag, just because there's a Chiluk in the Onshin that sometimes it's Reifa, and sometimes it's Skila, and sometimes it's Chenek, that's no reason to count it as three Isur. Misa's Bezna is the same. Or if you have L'soch L'al Adam, so sometimes you get Malkus, sometimes you don't get Malkus. Okay, so that's all counted as one lav. But if you have a pasuk where the Gemara has a tradition, Hamakal al Chavera is loike. The Mishnah say like that, Hamakal Atma, Hamakal Chavera is loike. And then you have Hamakal Lavimo, it gets Misa. The Rambam holds that that's impossible. You should have a lav that sometimes gets Misa, sometimes gets Malkus is impossible. So the fact that the Gemara has such a tradition means that they had a tradition that this counts as two lavim. One is chamuris and one is kalas. That's how the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, that averis chamuris are those averis that have krisis and misis bezin, and averis kalas are those that don't have koris and misis bezin, that have malkus. So what kind of a lav is this? Los kalacheris sometimes gets malkus, sometimes gets misa. So it must be it's two lavim. If it's one lav, couldn't be. And the same is true regarding all the four cases. The two that the Ramban pointed at, and the additional two that the Mishnah Melech pointed at, all four cases are like that. That one of the Lavim has Misa, and the other Lav has Malkus. So the Rambam has this interesting notion. That could well be what the Rambam's intention was, that this should this kind of a case should be counted twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. If Nei Iver Lo Asite Michshol, the Gemara also has two things are included in the pasuk. The Pshutu Shal Mikra goes on Shalol L'Hach Shal Iver, and then the Gemara says included also in the pasuk is if a person is a balavera, he wants to eat chazan, and he asks me to give him some chazan in order to eat, so that's a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Asite Michshol. If the fellow is b'shegeg, he doesn't realize that I'm going to trip him up, I'm going to give him chazan. So that we would understand perhaps that should be Lifnei Iver Lo Asite Michshol. Even if he's doing it b'mezid, but I'm going to be an accomplice to his crime, to his sin. I'm going to help him, I'm going to enable him to do the aver by giving him the non-kosher food. So the Gemara says, one who gives yayin le nazir, one who gives an eved menachai le ben noyach, is in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Asite Michshol. They're really two different issurim. One is not to, one is an isa ben adam lachavera, not to trip up the other fellow. That's if he doesn't know what he's falling into. He asks me for advice on the market, and I tell him where to invest his money, knowing that he's going to lose all of his money. I'm tripping him up, so that's an avera. That's Lifnei Iver Lo Asite Michshol ben adam lachavera. And the other level of interpretation is that ben adam lamakom, that I'm not allowed to become a shutev to his avera by enabling him to do the avera. Whenever I enable him to do the avera, if he has the ability to do the avera anyway, then the Gemara calls that chad iver de nahara. The non-kosher food is on the same side as the river where he is. Let's say I'm a waiter and I'm a butler in this fellow's home, and he has all the ham in the kitchen. He went shopping. He went to the deli and he bought non-kosher food, and it's in the kitchen. And he asks me to serve it to him. He's taking a shower and he's going to come down for dinner. He wants me to serve him the food. If I don't serve him the food, he can eat it himself. Avara, he went to the store. He bought it himself. So the Gemara says, that case, that's Chari Vedanari. He's on the same side of the river with the food. It's his food. He has the ability to do the Avera without me. So I'm not really enabling him to do the Avera. So the Gemara says there would be no violation of Lifnei Iver in such a case. Taisus proves from a Gemara that there'll be an Issa de Rabbanon. Even if it's Bechari Vedanara, there'll be an Issa de Rabbanon of Misayeye de Over Avera. What exactly does that mean, Misayeye de Over Avera? Some say that some have tainus against Taisus. Why Taisus calls it an Avera de Rabbanon? It should be an Avera de Araisa. It's a bit la mitzvah hacheach tacheach esam isecho. If you see someone doing something wrong, whatever type of an Avera it is, whether bin adam lamakam, bin adam lachavera, has bad midas, whatever, so you're supposed to be hacheach tacheach esam isecho. You're supposed to give tochacho. So if instead of giving tochacho, so sometimes you can't give tochacho. I'm not going to get anywhere. Why should I waste my breath? The guy doesn't know what I'm talking about. I can't speak his language. I have no way to communicate with him. Different wavelength. So even if you're exempt from Achech to Achech Samisecha, but I should serve him the ham, that Misayeya, the Ervi Avera, the Misayeya, perhaps should be included on the level of the Raisa in Achech to Achech Samisecha. That's Rabbi Shlomo Eger has in his Chubas, Chelek Yerideya. He tines, why does Taisa say it's only the Rabbanon? It's a Lifnei Iver de Rabbanon of Misayeya. They should have said that it's a din d'oraisa, it's a bitla mitzvah of hachech tachech es hamisech. So really this Lifnei Iver Lo Asite Michshol has two levels of interpretation. The one is lefi pshuta, not to put a stumbling block, and the other one is not to enable someone to do an avera, not to participate in the avera. Torah says, when judging others, we have to be fair and honest in judgment. You're not allowed to say, this fellow is poor, come on, I'll paskin in his favor, the other guy should give him stock anyway. Or you're not allowed to say, what a humiliation for the rabbi, what a humiliation for the wealthy balabas, for the b'kovadik of balabas, for the president of the shul, I have to paskin in his favor. And then later on, I'll tell the poor man that he was really right, and he should give him back the money. So Rashi explains the Chumash, that's a violation. You're not allowed to say, Shaloi Tama Oshu Hu Ben Gedolim Hu, you're not allowed to say, he's Ani Hu, Asher Chayvul Farnas say you're not allowed to do that. You can add that on after you give the psak. Well, you have to give the psak, has to be an honest psak. Remember, we once had a din Torah here in the yeshiva. Someone had a din Torah against the yeshiva. A person worked for a yeshiva. So all the rabbanim he would pick, they were afraid would be on his side. All the rabbanim they would pick, so he was afraid of. So somehow they agreed they're going to come to me. So I passed him that the yeshiva was chayv to pay him the money, which was some sum of money. But then I made out a check, a donation to the yeshiva. So the balabas understood. I said the psak is that the yeshiva is mechuyev to pay. But then we were sitting and talking. So I made out a check for the yeshiva. So the balabas understood that he should support the yeshiva. So he didn't make him pay the full amount. You can say after the psak is over, you have to paskin that the rich man wins the din Torah, and then I can give the poor man a check and give him. And I should encourage the rich man. Maybe should give him some tzedakah also. And you're permitted to give a commentary, but the psak should be the psak. You're not permitted to distort the psak. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes in his tshuvas that are printed in the Chutam Shulosh. Chutam Shulosh is a collection of the tshuvas of three of the Rosh Yeshiva and Volozhin. Volozhin was around for many years, for 90 years. So these are from the earlier years. It has the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and it has Rav Hillel, and it has Rav Blazer Richer, I think his son-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So in the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he quotes that he heard from the Vilna Gaon that when a person has a shaila and he works it out, you should work out the shaila based on the Gemara, based on the Rishonim, and then he looks in the Shulchan Aruch says not so. So the Vilna Gaon said, you're not allowed to paskin the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's a violation of La Seder B'nei Kodol. You're falsifying the psak because you don't want to be disrespectful to Rav Yosef Karo. But he's wrong. Yosef Karo is wrong. You're not allowed to show respect to Rav Yosef Karo if he's wrong. Okay? If you're really convinced, if the Chacham is a Chacham Shehigi Elo Hayro, and he's convinced that Rabbi Yosef Karo made a mistake, okay, so you're not allowed to falsify the psak. Most people are not on such a level to be able to be so convinced that the Shulchan Aruch was wrong. So if they work out what they think the din should be, then they look in Shulchan Aruch and says not so. So they should rethink, they should reinvestigate. Maybe they learned everything wrong. Maybe they should study everything all over again. But this was the pasuk that he quoted, that you're not allowed to paskin if you're convinced the psak is one way. Talking to Talmud Rav Chaim Volozhiner, you're convinced the psak is one way and you see that the poskim say the reverse, you're not allowed to say like the poskim out of respect for them. That's a violation of the Seder B'nei Kodol. You're not allowed to falsify the psak. You have to say what you think the din is. That's the Vilna Gaon. B'nei Hagro, right in the Hagdamah to the Bir Hagro and Shulchan Aruch, that their father felt that he had Rayas Machricha Shein Aleim Tshuva. He had clear-cut proof from Gemaris to be pushed every issue that was a Machlokes or Rishonim. He had Beferish Gemaris to prove who's right on every issue. Okay, so if he was so convinced that he figured everything out, so if he's convinced that the Shulchan Aruch made a mistake, so okay, he's not allowed to paskin in favor of the Shulchan Aruch. It's a violation of the Seder B'nei Kodol. Most people are not so convinced. Hard to tell. Sometimes it's very hard to figure out what the din is. Yerushalmi has a fascinating comment on the pasuk L'sikam L'sitor is b'nei amecha v'yahavta l'riyacha kamoichom. That Yerushalmi gives a mashal if a person is cutting and accidentally he's a righty, so he cuts with the right hand. So let's say he's holding onto a challah and accidentally he cuts his finger on the left hand by using the knife in the right hand. So would it make sense that the left hand should slap the right hand to take nekama? It's the two limbs of the same organism. What should I have to take nekama against yourself? It doesn't make sense that one organ will take nekama from the other organ. So too the Torah tells us, L'sikam L'sitar is b'nei amecha. We're all part of the same organism. All the Jewish people joined together to constitute one organism. So that's the basis of L'sisna sachicha b'lbavecha. You have to treat the other people as if it's all one big organism, is it? The whole Klal Yisrael is one organism. Ramban writes, is the basis of all of the mitzvah shebiron machaver. You have to take care of the other people's needs as if they would have been your own personal needs. Kamoicha. The Gemara says not exactly, not to the same extent as your own. The Gemara says that in the beginning of the first daf in Zel Neshech, that Shnaim Shahim Alchem Banidbor, two people are traveling in the desert, And one of them has a canteen of water, which is enough water to survive, to get out of the desert alive. And the other one has no water, and there's no water for sale. There's no stores there in the desert. So one Tana is of the opinion that they have to split the water in half, and they're both going to die, because I have no right. I'm not allowed to drink the whole canteen of water that I have, because I'm killing the other guy indirectly. If I drink the water and I don't share it with the other one, so he's going to die because of me. Achabar Rabbi Akiva Velimeh, Rabbi Akiva said that that's not correct. The pasuk says, V'chei achicha imach, a different pasuk, not this one. V'chei achicha imach, imach has the connotation of chayecha koibim, v'chayecha bercha. First you take care of your own needs, and then you take care of the other person's needs. So the Rishonim understand that this is V'chei achicha imach, chayecha koibim, not only applies when it's a matter of life and death. I have to take care of, I have to save my own life first, and then I'll begin considering saving your life. They say it applies even in business also. Let's say the pasuk, Lo solim pu lo socher itcha ad boiker. You have to pay the salary right away. What if I have a situation, let's say if I hire workers, I engage workers, and I tell them in advance, I'm going to pay at the end of the week. So then there's no din of Lo solim pu lo socher. That's a double portion like that. Let's say I tell them I'm going to send out a check at the end of every month. Take it or leave it. If you want to take the job, those are the conditions of the employment, that I only send out a check at the end of the month. Okay, so if he takes the job, so he's mavata on that. But let's say he took a job and I'm supposed to pay him the money today. I didn't make any conditions in advance. And then it comes at the end of the day, I realize I can pay him the money. I need this money in order to make ends meet, in order to further the business, in order whatever. If I'm going to pay him his money today, like the din requires, so it's going to cause me a hefsed mamon. I'm going to have to take a loan from the bank and cover this and cover that. I'm going to have to start paying interest on it. So then it says, Rabbi Kiv Eger on the Choshe Mishpat quotes from the Sefer Achinuch, that in such a case, the mitzvah, the loisese of lo solim pu lo socher itcha boker, the lav doesn't apply. The loisese doesn't apply. Why? Because it's based on the same din of v'cheyecha yichimach. Chayecha kaim l'chayecha vercha. All of the mitzvah, mitzvah loisese, shebenon l'chavera, everything begins after I take care of my own needs. I have to take care of my own needs. And then I have an obligation to take care of the other person's needs as if they were my own. The Chumash has the din of Orlo in Eretz Yisrael, ki savayu al ha'aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you plant trees, for the first 3 years, the peiros that grow, if anything grows, very often nothing will grow the first couple of years. If anything grows, so it's also b'achila and also b'hanoah. In the Chumash it says, Lo ye yocheil. Sounds like it's only talking about eating, but the Gemara explains how we see that it's even also ba'ano, and it's ton sreif. Orlon kla akerem is a mitzvah to burn. It's min an isrofim. The fourth year, he's supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it, b'kdusha v'tahara. Or to be po dechutz to Yerushalayim, bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy food and eat that b'kdusha v'tahara. The fifth year, tachlos pirio, everything is okay. On the net to revive, the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, but does it only apply to grapes? Only to kerem revai? The pears on the fourth year. Is it kerem revai tanan or is it net to revai tanan? Tosfos on the first daf in Kiddushin raises a possibility. They quote some who are of the opinion that the machlekes hatanaim, whether net to revai, kerem revai, is only machlekes on the level of deraisa. The rabbon and everybody's masking that there is a din of net to revai that applies to all trees. That's not really the posh of pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara would appear that according to the Giris of Netter, Kerem Revai, that there's no such din as Netter at all. It only applies to grapes. It doesn't apply to any other trees, not Menatar, not Menarabbanim. But Taisus quotes such an opinion, such a day of the first daf in Kiddushin, that Menatar et Samachlegis with a Netter Revai, Kerem Revai, Menarabbanim, they all agree that the din of Revai applies to all the trees. This Machlegis Hatanoim, whether the din of revai is restricted only to grapes or even applies to all other fruits, to apples and to oranges and to pears and so on. So the pashtus says that this machlekes only is on revai. That's all it's mentioning. Mark, kerem revai and netter revai. What about orla? Orla sounds like kisabel is on a titan kolaitz michael. Any and every kind of a tree. Sounds like every tree is included. That's the pashtus like that. The balamor, the Balamor, Ram Brochus, quotes a Rashi in Saita who says otherwise. And the Rashi in Saita Taka says it. Rashi says that according to the opinion that Kerem Avai Tanan, that the din of the Paris on the fourth year only applies to Kerem, only to grapes, So what din nami, the din of arla only applies to grapes. But the pasuk says in the Taita Mikola it's Michael, he planted a lot of vines, but it only goes on grapevines. It doesn't go on other trees. Chiddush, a very big chiddush. The Gemara in Brachas has a fascinating drosh on this pasuk, Kodesh Hilulam Lashem. So the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hem and Al, the first Daf in Perikates and Mevorchim. So the Gemara darshins Hilulim as if it were written Hilulim Achlei Bahadar Achlei. If you want to eat the Paris Revai Chutz Lirishalam, you have to be poided them. Hilulim means to be poided, Hilulim, to be poided first. So Taisus asked the Kasha, why did they have to make a drosha Hilulim, Hilulim? We know that there is a Gzera Shavu Kodesh Kodesh, that not the Revai is compared to Maisa Sheni. You have many, many dinim in the Mishnayos. We have halachas for Maisa Sheni applied to not the Revai, halachas not the Revai applied to Maisa Sheni. So by Maisa Sheni it says Beferish and Chumash Dvarim, that you paid in the Maisa Sheni. Kirchat Mimcha Mokin Kilo Silchon Seisi Kivarech Hashem Okech Menasata Kesef Tata Kesef Biyadecha. It says you paid a whole parsha opinion Maisa Sheni. So why did the Gemara have to have Azad Drosha Hilulim Chilulim? That's Tosis Kasha, and they have no Teretz. So the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, has a fantastic Shtikol Torah here. That's unbelievable. He's going to answer Tosis Kasha by posing first another three Kashas. Another three Kashas. Shir Klali. He's going to give one Teretz to Farem for four Kashas. So Tosis asks the Kasha, why do you need a new Drosha? Chilulim, Hilulim, Chilulim. If you have already Kodesh Kodesh mi Maisa Sheni, and it says explicitly by Maisa Sheni that there is an institution of Pidyon. So he says the Taisvis in Brachas, Daf Lamed Hei, quotes from the Shiltas, Tais in Kedushin also quotes from the Shiltas on that base in Kedushin. What do you do with Neter Ravai Bizman Azeb? What do you do with Neter Ravai B'chutzlars? Rav Achoy go and lived in Bavel. So what do you do if you have a fruit bearing tree? So the first 3 years there's a din of Arla B'chutzlos. Then the fourth year, it's Revai. So he says, you take a Shava Pruta, and you Poida. Normally, Bizman Shabbos HaYikayim, you have to be Poida B'Shavyo. You're not allowed to cheat the Neter Revai by giving only a Pruta. But Bizman HaZeh, it's permissible to cheat the Hegdash, because the Hegdash is not going to gain anything out of it anyway. Why should I give the full value? So that's what, that's a Gemara like that. Gemara has like that, if someone is magdish a house bizman hazeh, so hegdish can't use the house. So he better be paid at the house, because someone's going to be moiled by hegdish, someone's going to use the house, it's going to be forgotten that this house is kodesh. And Gemara says, you better be paid at the house, and then throw the money into the Yamamela. So the Gemara says, since you're going to throw it into the Yamamela, hegdish is not going to gain anything by it anyway, so he may as well be paid on a pruto. You don't have to be paid on, let's say this mansion is worth $1 million, there's no mitzvah to be put on $1 million and destroy $1 million worth of cash. Be put on a pruta and then destroy that. Bizman hazeh it's mutar lechatchila to be put on a shavu pruta. So Tosfos quotes the Shiltas that the same is true regarding neter revai bizman hazeh. So the Tziv says, achrayim asked all these kashas. The Tziv collects all the kashas. He has three kashas on the Shiltas. First of all, how can he say you put on a shavu pruta? The Gemara says this is one of the three cases where shavu kesef is lavki kesef. Can only be paid on kesef. Second kasha is the shiltas forgot to write that yemoisiv chaimish. You have to say hu v'chum shemchul ala pruta hazos. Third kasha is forgot to mention that you say a bracha. So if he would be a Rosh Hashidah giving a shiur, he didn't give all the details. But it's a safer psak halacha for the masses. The shiltas was intended to be a safer like a kitzel shulchan aruch. So he left out the bracha, and he left out hu v'chum shemchul ala hazeh. And he writes a mistake that you should take a shavu pruta. You can't take a shavu pruta. You have to take a pruta. So he says the teretz is all the four kashas have one teretz. He says hasadot zvei dinim. Abchai married the granddaughter of the Netziv, and they used to give shurim in the yeshiva and valojin at the same time. The Netziv appointed his granddaughter's husband as the rosh yeshiva. Then there were complaints that he wasn't roy, that he was only put in because he married the rosh yeshiva's granddaughter. So the board came to listen to Rav Chaim give the shir. The members of the board were the alumni, big rabbonim in Europe, who had learned in Valoj and Yeshiva. So they came and they spoke to him and learning. They heard him give a shir, and he said he passes the test. He's right to be a Rosh Hashiva. So the Talmidim, Rav Kook, learned in Valoj at that time. So Rav Kook liked the Netziv shir. He didn't like Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim didn't like Rav Kook either. It was How does the pasuk say? He didn't like Hashem. He didn't go for him either in a big way. Yeah. So, but there were talmidim. Some of them only liked Rav Chaim style with the tzvei dinim. Some of them liked the netziv style, an old style. Hardly anybody appreciated both because they were so different from each other. But here, the netziv has this in his commentary on the shiltas, which he wrote when he was a teenager. He has this fantastic shtikl Torah, mamish the tzvei dinim. He says the reason why you need two psukim, hilulim, chilulim, and the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim in Parshas Re'eh is because there are tzvei dinim over here. Because one is a pidyon shel mitzvah. The one of Re'eh is a pidyon that's a mitzvah to be paid in Ma'aseh Sheni. And it applies to Netar Revai also. Fine. And when you do a pidyon shel mitzvah, you say a bracha. Shekhar Rishonim and Tzatzin Tzvon, I'll pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. I'll pidyon Netar Revai. And that pidyon shel mitzvah says in the Chumash, you have to use a pruta. You have to use kesef. You can't use shavah kesef. And when you're dealing with mitzvahs, so sometimes there's a concept of l'chatchila. A mitzvah b'shleim musa is done like this, and if you do it shalom b'shleim musa, you'll be yotze b'riyevet. So the din is, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that the ha'isaf ha'schoimish is not ma'akiv. If you paid the ma'isusheni and you didn't give tasef ha'schoimish, so the ma'isusheni is yotze l'chulin anyway. So the whole tasef ha'schoimish is only l'chatchila. So to talk about a l'chatchila deraisa only makes sense. The Netziv quotes the Tosis in the end of Nida and Daf Samach Aleph on the base. To talk about a lachatchila on the level of deraisa only makes sense when you're dealing with a mitzvah. If you're talking about a matir, let's say a get is yeshke mitzvah, so there is no such thing. Lachatchila, the get should be on a very expensive piece of parchment, and it should be grayish, and it should be you should singe the edges, that it should be fancy and pretty with diamonds on it. There's no hidden mitzvah, there's no lachatchila on a get. If you give a get on a shmata piece of paper, if it's good b'di'evet, it's good l'chatchila. When you talk about mitzvahs, oh, l'chatchila, you should do a mitzvah b'shleimus, with hidur mitzvah and everything. And b'di'evet, you can be yotze the mitzvah without the hidurim and without all of the details. So if the Torah has a din of tosefes chaimish, that's not in the akev, so it's a dead giveaway that pinyan ma'isusheni must be a mitzvah. That's why Chach, to have a detail that's only l'chatchila, is not in the akev b'di'evet. So that's all within the parsha that's explicit in Chumash Dvarim and Parshas Re'eh about Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni v'hu Adinami Netar Revai. That's a Pidyon Shel Mitzvah. So that Pidyon Shel Mitzvah has to be Kesef, not Shavu Kesef. You can't use Shavu Pruta. You have to give Tosef Eschaimish L'chatchila to perform the mitzvah B'Shalim Musa. One would recite a bracha. And it's all based on that parsha. The drasha that the Chazal darshan from this pasuk, Hilulim Chilulim, is to teach me that there's another root, there's another institution of pidyon by Shusheni Netar Revai, that's only a pidyon hamatir. It's not going to be a pidyon shal mitzvah. So in this matir, we're not going to say any bracha. And in a matir, it does make sense to do l'chatchilim b'diyevet, so you don't even have to have tosef es chaimish. And this hilulim chilulim, who says that you need dafke kesef, you can use shav kesef as well. So, but the only question is, but where do you have a pidyon hamatir as opposed to pidyon shal mitzvah? So he says, in Netar Revai and Chutzalards, what we learn out from the Chumash is only talking about Kisavoyo El Haaretz. The Pasuk is talking explicitly about Orla Beretz Yisrael and about Netar Revai and Eretz Yisrael. It's not talking about at all about Orla B'Chutzalards, Netar Revai B'Chutzalards. So that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Machlokes in the Gemara, but the Orla B'Chutzalards is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or it's the Rabbanon. So the Rambam assumes that Orla B'Chutzalards is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Rashi and Brachas seems to have assumed l'maskana that it's not Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but it's rather the Rabbanon. Okay, but the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, we're assuming that it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So he says, the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that you have a din of Orla B'chutz L'Aretz, this is really, it seems to be an exception to the rule. The rule is all the mitzvahs atluyos, but the Mishnah writes it as an exception to the rule. All the mitzvahs Hatluyas Baretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael, don't apply in Chutz L'Aretz, except for Orla in Chodesh. So he says, maybe what the Mishnah means to say is like this, the mitzvah is Hatluyas Baretz. The mitzvah of Shemitah, the mitzvah of Yoivam, the mitzvah of Leket Shikram Peah, the mitzvah of Hafrashah Strumus and Maisus, the mitzvah Sesei, Hatluyas Baretz only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz min HaChodesh and min HaOrla, these are Yisurim. So the Halacha says that you can have from the mitzvah of Hatluyas Baretz, the Yisurim, they can apply in Chutz L'Aretz. So you have the Isur Orla applies in Chutz L'Aretz, it's an Isur. And the which aspect of Netter Revive, so Netter Revive, Chutzlars, and the Machlekes HaRishayim. The Rambam has a whole Shtikal Torah and the Mishnah Torah. He gives you a whole argument why, even though there is a din of Orla B'chutzlars, but there's no Netter Revive B'chutzlars. Rab Chaim has an essay on the Rambam, a whole essay on it. Rambam, what is the Rambam driving at? Rambam has an interesting position. But Tosfos quotes from the Shiltas otherwise, not like the Rambam. Tosfos quote, the Rambam says the Goyim say it that way, and I disagree. He says that the Goyim made a mistake. And Tosfos quotes the Goyim and sticks to the Goyim that the Shiltas and other Chuvas are Goyim. They say that just like you have Orla B'chutzlot, you have Netter Revai as well. So then Netziv says, which aspect of Netter Revai? He thinks that usually Netter Revai has an Iser that you're not allowed to eat at Chutz Yerushalayim, and it has a mitzvah that you're supposed to bring into Yerushalayim and eat it B'kdusha V'tahara. So he thinks over here, the Netter Revai B'chutzlot only has the Iser element to it, because Chutzlot, you don't have mitzvahs at Tluyas Baretz. You can have the Isurim of the Tluyas Baretz, but you can't have the mitzvah aspect. So the Netter Revai B'chutzlot will only have an Iser to eat it Chutz Yerushalayim, but it won't have a mitzvah to bring it to Yerushalayim. So the Mele, when you'll be paid it, this is only a pinyon hamater is needed over here. You'll only need a pinyon hamater. You won't need a pinyon shel mitzvah. So that's why the Shiltas talks about all pinyon Netter Revai B'chutz Laretz, that you never say a bracha when you do the pinyon, because it's not a mitzvah, it's only a hamater, and you don't have to even try to be ma'isav chaymish l'chatchile. You can use a shavar pruto. Yeah, but he says that this is strange to say that the drasha hilulim chilulim is alluding to pinyon Netter Revai B'chutz Laretz. That's only Allah Almighty Messina. How can you make a drasha and a pasuk? So he has to find on the level of the raisa, leaving out Allah Almighty Messina. Do you ever have a case on the level of the raisa with his netter revai be'eretz Yisrael that doesn't have a mitzvah to bring into Yerushalayim and a mitzvah pidyon? Where do you find a case on the level of Torah Shebichsav, leaving out Arla B'chutzlor, it's netter revai B'chutzlor? Where do you have a case in Torah Shebichsav Dekedin, where you're going to have Orla be'eretz Yisrael, or Netter Revai be'eretz Yisrael, where it's just an Isser Lach L'chutz Yerushalayim, and there's no mitzvah to bring in Yerushalayim. So he brings an offer in the Gemara in Hazaha. The Gemara says that Netter Revai, Yem Aysu Sheini She'ein, either Ein Bo Shavah Pruta, or Ein Bechum Shavah Pruta. Different opinions in the Gemara. So the Gemara says there's no mitzvah to bring into Yerushalayim. You can let it sit Chutz Yerushalayim or Rat. Normally, there's a mitzvah of Asa Shama Ba'Beisim Shama. If you have Orla, if you have Netter Revai, you have Ma'aseh Sheni, it's a mitzvah to bring into Yerushalayim and to eat a day B'kdusha V'Tahara. Or if you choose not to bring it, it's a mitzvah to be paid it, to say a bracha to be paid it, and to bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy food and eat that food B'kdusha V'Tahara. But if you have Ma'aseh Sheni or Netter Revai, She'ein Bo Shavah Pruta, Ein Mechum Shavah Pruta, two versions in the Gemara and Azov, so then there's no mitzvah to have Yerushalayim. All you have is an Iser. That's how he quotes the Shita Mekubetzes on Perek Azov, quotes a Ravid who interprets this in the Gemara. So he thinks, it's interesting, he thinks that the Hilulim Drasha, the Hilulim Chilulim, Achle V'Hadar Achle, is telling me a new root, an institution of Pidyon, that the Revai Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, that's only a pidyon shel matir, which by us applies all the time in Orla B'chutz, Netter Revai B'chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael it'll only apply in very rare cases. So he gives this is one case, perhaps. This case with the Netter Revai She'ein Bo Shaveh Pruto, so then there's no mitzvah to bring into Yerushalayim. So the pidyon will only be a pidyon amatir, it won't be a pidyon shel mitzvah. Torah has the mitzvah Migdoshi Tiro'u, as Shapsoisa Tishmoru Migdoshi Tiro'u Ani Hashem. Mora HaMigdosh. It doesn't mean you should fear the Beis HaMigdosh. The Gemara says in the first parak in Yevamos, the walls are not going to fall on you. The walls are not going to. And if the walls are leaning, so you better not go into the Beis HaMigdosh. They should condemn the building and not let anybody go in. Migdoshi Tiro'u means you have to demonstrate added Mora for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMigdosh. So we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh in America, we have a Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses is referred to by the Novi Yecheskel as a Mikdosh Miyad. He says, Yecheskel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the Jewish people into Golos, and then I can't have a Beis HaMikdosh, but V'ei Lehem LeMikdosh Miyad, V'chol Artsis Pizureim, something like that. And Novi Yecheskel says, wherever they'll go, they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdosh, and this is a reference to the Batei K'nesiyos, the Batei Midrash HaShabbat Bavel. So since it's only a Migdash Miat, what we have, so we don't have in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't have Dinam of Moira HaMigdash, we have Dinam of Kovet Beis HaKnesses. It's along the lines of Moira HaMigdash, but it's not as Chomer. Moira HaMigdash is the real Beis HaMigdash. And the Beis HaKnesses, only a Migdash Miat, so a little bit of Kovet Beis HaKnesses is required. The Chayyadim quotes that there are Rishonim who think that this is a din deraisa. This concept of Migdash Miyat and Kavod Beis HaKnesses is not in Gansan an invention mid the Rabbanon. And even if it were an invention mid the Rabbanon, we should observe all the dinim de Rabbanon as well. But especially he quotes from the Yireyim, who writes that this is a din deraisa. There are Mamosa Mashma like that. The Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a Kedusha deraisa based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Migdash Miyat. And he says, the Chayyadim writes, whenever there's a suffix in Hilchas Kavod Beis HaKnesses, he says you have to go to Chumra. The suffix deraisa l'chumra. A lot of times we know it's not a suffix, it's a vadayasa. We do things in Beis HaKnesses, a vadayasa. We talk Lashon Hara in Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara outside of Beis HaKnesses either. But to be mevaza makom kodesh, we do all kinds of things in Beis HaKnesses that we're not allowed to do. Now Rizal was careful, he didn't want to hold a drasha in shul, because he was afraid he may say a line that doesn't belong in his drasha. The Behetiv quotes it in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses. He was careful not to give Musar in shul. He was afraid he may crack a joke in the middle of the Musar Shmuz, that reason. He was afraid he may add a line that doesn't belong. No. So we're a little makel on that, but we should try to be a little more medactic than we are. Lo sochel al adam, lo sinachshu, lo sanenu. The Gemara, the psukim have all the prohibitions against superstition and against practices that were connected with the avodah zarah. So the Gemara has the push pshat lo sochel al adam is the way the Ramban explained this was some kind of an avodah zarah ritual that was based on some superstition. The Gemara has several levels of additional levels of interpretation in the pasuk Losach Lal Adam. So one of them is that you're not allowed to eat before davening shachris. Losach Lekodim Shetis Pavalu Al Dimchem before you daven shachris. So the Meiri has a comment in Bob Metzia when they have the sugya in the end of Bob Metzia about Lavshe Bechlolos, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Yimel calls this pasuk Losach Lal Adam a Lavshe Bechlolos. So there's a sugya in the end of Bob Metzia. So the Meiri has an interesting comment. He says, according to the Ramban, that there's no obligation to daven once a day, every day. So obviously that can't be included. L'soch l'adam can't be an isa deraisa, that you're not allowed to eat before you daven shachris. He says, according to the Ramban, it could be that it's a real drosh gemur deraisa. The Ramban thinks that there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day. He says, it could well be that this is a din deraisa. He suggests, maybe according to the Ramban, there is a din, you have to recite kriyeshma twice a day. So maybe L'soch Lal Adam doesn't go on eating before davening, maybe it goes on eating before Kriyashma. maybe even according to the Ramban, that is a drosh gemur deraisa with respect to not being allowed to eat before you say Kriyashma. How exactly does it fit in? L'soch Lo Kodim Shetis Palo Lo Al Dimchem is with a little stretch. We can see the way it fits in. What are you going to say about Kriyashma? What has Kriyashma got to do with Dam? L'soch Lal Adam. I don't know. I'm not sure what he's driving at. It's interesting. Kabbalah Samachma, but how does it fit in with the word dam? It's problematic in the drasha. The Ramam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs lists off the din that you're not allowed to shave off your payas, you're not allowed to shave with a razor. So there's a hasoka saraivid on that Rambam that the Mefarshim are not too sure exactly what he's driving at. He says, Lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, v'lo la nishchas. That's the way it says in the original Hasaga Saravid. So the simple reading of the Ravid sounds like he's making a comment that has nothing to do with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Why did he put it over there? He seems to be commenting on the plural versus the singular in the Pasuk Chav Zayin. Here, right before, what is it, Shishi? Right before Revi. Right before Revi in the Parsha. It says, Lo sakifu pas roshchem, v'lo sashchis, es piyazaganecha. The shaving with a razor is written in the singular, lo sashchis. And cutting off the pace is written in the plural, lo sakifu, pas roshchem. So it sounds like the Rebbe is making a diuk. Lav la makif, lav la nikif. The Gemara says in the last parak in Makis that because it's written in the plural, lo sakifu, so there's an Isser, if there's a Jewish barber has Jewish customers and he shaves off their payas, so they're both over on the Isser. The barber, lav la makif, lav la nikif, because it's written in the plural. However, lo sashchis is written in the singular, so he says, lav la mashchis, v'lo la nishchas. That's what it sounds like in the Rebbe. That there's only a lav on the barber, there's no lav on the customer who has his beard shaved off with a razor. That's what it sounds like. He's saying, question of what did he write this on the Minyan HaMitzvahs for? What does it got to do with the Minyan HaMitzvahs? Secondly, it's against the Tosefta. The Tosefta says beferish that the fact that it's written in the plural with respect to Hakofas Pasa Rosh carries over. It's a hekesh. They're both dinim on the same pasuk. So the idea that's taught through the plural applies even to the Los Ashchis Piasa Ganech as if it were written Los Ashchisu. So the Rebbe is against the Tosefta, and why did he write it on the Sefer HaMitzvahs? What does it got to do with Sefer HaMitzvahs? So that's why the others understand the Rebbe differently, that the Rebbe is being masig on the Rambam and the Minyan HaMitzvahs. There's a misprint in the Rebbe, first of all. Instead of saying lav la mashchis velo la nishchas, the correct reading should be lav la mashchis lav la nishchas. And he's asking a hasog on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam only count it as one lav cutting off payas, and one lav shaving the beard with a razor? Should have counted two lavim, one for the barber, one for the customer, on shaving off payas. Lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas, two lavim for shaving off the beard with a razor. That's why it's on the Rambam. That's why it's masik on the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. He's asking, why did the Rambam count it as one lav? Should have counted it as two lav. That's the Hasogas HaRabbim. So that is Velvela Soloveitchik in the Shiurim HaNazir has a whole explanation. What is the Rambam's opinion? What is the Rebbe's opinion? What are they fighting about? Whether it deserves to be counted twice, or it only deserves to be counted once. In the end of Achrei Moed and Kiddushim, the Chumash has all of the Yisuri Arayis listed. So they're all written from the perspective of a man. Everything is written Meloshim Zohar. The man is not allowed to sleep with his mother-in-law. The man is not allowed to sleep with his sister-in-law. The man is not allowed to sleep with his daughter-in-law, with someone else's wife and son. We say Hishra Kosev Isha Liish, so it applies to the woman as well. But Rabbi Yosef Engel points out in one place an interesting he'orah, that the Gemara talks about Isa Chal Al Isa. Let's say I marry a girl, her mother is married. So when I marry her, her mother becomes an Eishes Ish. She already was an Eishes Ish. The mother has been married to my father. My mother-in-law was married to my father-in-law for many years. When I marry their daughter, she becomes Eishes Ish Menasis Chamoso. The Baal Eishes Ish is only Chenik. Chamoso is Sreifa. So Isha Bita, Sreifa. So which punishment should I get? Should I get Sreifa or should I get Chenik? And if I do it B'Shoigeg, will I be Chayb one Chatos or two Chatos? So the Gemara has a whole long sugya of Isa Chalalisa. When is Isa Chalalisa? When is it not Chalalisa? So there are three exceptions to the rule. Isa Basachas, if they're both Chal Basachas, then you have an Isa Koilu, then you have an Isa Moisiv. So whether you determine whether it's an Isa Koilu or an Isa Moisiv is always determined from the perspective of the man. It's not determined from the perspective of the woman, because the Chumash has it written from the perspective of the man. It's a little bit unfair. The whole Chumash is written Meloshon Zachar. So for us, it's got to be written Meloshon Zachar. So of course it's written from the perspective of the man. But nonetheless, the Halacha judges Isa Koilul and Isa Moisiv from the perspective of the man, even with respect to the woman. We judge it from the perspective of the man. The Isa starts off that he's not allowed to be with this woman. And the Mele, Hishra Kosev Ishli Ish, the same thing applies to her. Sometimes you have to figure out the cases. Sometimes what's an Isa Moisiv from the perspective of the man will be an Isa Koilul from the perspective of the woman. What will be a kerla from his perspective will be a moisa from her perspective. So the halacha says, and not all the tanoim agree with both kerla and moisa. Reb Shimon only holds from moisa if he doesn't believe in kerla. He doesn't believe in isa kerla, and there may be slight, even though we hold from both, there may be slight differences between an isa kerla and an isa moisa. The details there may be a little different. So that's the klalis from the Gemara. All the sugis like that, we always determine the nature of the second isa being chal on the first isa, looking from the perspective of the man, because that's the way the Chumash presented it. The Halacha priest has to start off from the perspective of the man. The Gemara says Hishma Kasav Yishaliyish is not only by the Arayis, it's even by Yisuri Kahuna. It even implies to Yisuri Kahuna, let's say a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. The Grusha is not a Kohenis. But if she lives with the Kohen, they both get Malkus. He gets Malkus, she gets Malkus. Same thing Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says. It's like Kohen Gadol be Almana. They both get Malkus. It's not only an Yisran him, it's an Yisran her also. Hishma Kasav Yishaliyish applies to both. Applies to Arayis, applies to Yisuri Kun, applies to Yisuri Kangal. But it has to, you always have to judge from the perspective of the man. So once there is an Issa, so then Hishma Kosav Yishaliyish, it applies to the woman as well. Okay. Sunday morning, believe that, wait a minute, is a normal day? Oh yeah. Sunday morning is Mother's Day. So I'm giving a shiur about Kibbutz Aviyim in the other building, but then our shiur is going to be normal time. Good.